Welcome everyone, wherever you are. We are joined in God's Spirit, we rejoice in God's Spirit, and we worship and pray in God's Spirit. Thank you to those of you who are joining in with our worship online. Just remember that we are all joined in fellowship with each other and the risen Christ through the power of God's Holy Spirit. This week we have been a little quieter than this time last year. The weather hasn't helped, of course. Eleanor is still poorly and everyone has signed a get well card for her, which I delivered on Friday. Stuart is continuing to care for Johanna, who is still not getting the right treatment. Even when she went to the physio, they wouldn't do anything in case they made her worse. So we have been a bit short-staffed again, but thanks to Kathy and Graham, we've managed. But they're also a bit under the weather, but were able to take Thursday and Friday off as Margaret helped out now that her family, who were visiting her, have gone back to Yorkshire. So we thank the Lord for provision. We thank the Lord for our church family, both locally and those who visit during the summer, for how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruit of his presence here among us. Let's sing, Oh How Good It Is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 68, May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. As smoke is blown away by the wind, may you blow them away. As wax melts before the fire, may the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rides the ancient skies above, who thunders with mighty voice. Proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose power is in the skies. You are awesome, O God, in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Amen. Seems to me that we all need to remember just how powerful our God is, especially when we feel that the world is getting just a little bit out of control. And of course, our own parliament could be said to be out of control. The only thing that can bring stability back to the world is the power of God. But God needs us to be his army, to cry out his message and sing his praises. Well, it's very easy just to sing our praise and say our prayers, but we need to do these things with passion. For our God is awesome, as the psalmist says. And remember too, the God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Indeed, the Apostle Paul goes further and writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." To worship God in spirit means to worship him with our heart, our emotion, our affection, our desires and passion. Indeed, our whole body, mind and spirit, which we offer to God as a living sacrifice. Anything else is not accepted to God. We come to God to offer our spiritual worship today, holy and pleasing. So praise be to God. Let us sing, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven.
Lord, we gather in humility to worship you. We bring to you our concerns, but most of all, we praise and worship your holy name. We come before you at this time seeking your wisdom, that we may glorify you through our thinking. We come before you seeking your love, that we may glorify you through our emotions. We come before you seeking your strength, that we may glorify you at all times. We come before you seeking your perseverance, that we might glorify you in all places and at all times. Lord, show us how to live, that our lives shine with your glory, and those who we meet along our earthly journey may know you through us, and know that you are at work in our world. May we be true witnesses to your awesome power and unconditional love. Lord, unite us, make us one in you, that your love may strengthen and empower us. Amen. You know, one of the problems of only meeting for worship on Sunday is that we miss some of the most important events of Jesus' earthly life. This, of course, is particularly true of Holy Week, the week leading up to Easter. It's also true of this past week. Last Thursday, the Christian Church celebrated and remembered Jesus' ascension into heaven. I spoke about this a bit last week. The ascension marks the final day that Jesus was on earth in bodily form, the day when, according to our scriptures, Jesus ascended into heaven, leaving his disciples once again. And yet he promised them that he would be with them in spirit forever, that same spirit that they were experienced some 10 days later on the first Christian Pentecost. So let's remind ourselves of that important event as we hear words from the Acts of the Apostles.
The reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You know, it's long been a tradition in the Christian Church to profess the faith of the Church using the early creeds, either the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, which is shorter. And I believe it to be appropriate for us to do so today as we remember Ascension Day and look forward to the celebration of Pentecost next week. So please join me now as we say together the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on the song sheet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, grant that as we believe your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to have ascended with triumph into your kingdom in heaven, so may we also in heart and mind ascend to where he is, with him continually dwell, who is above and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You know, all heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him alone. Let's sing All Heaven Declares. All heaven declares the glory of the Jesus said to his disciples, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the theme of our worship today is, "You are witnesses," for indeed we all are. To fulfill their commission as his worldwide witnesses, Jesus' disciples will need a power that lifts them beyond their own resources. This, as we know, came upon them on the day of Pentecost, which we will celebrate next week. Today, as we gather for worship, we are between Ascension and Pentecost, and we should remember just how the first disciples must have been feeling. That great sense of loss once again, the feeling of being in a deep void. At that time, they would have been deeply aware of their need of God. I'm wondering just how they would stay focused after all the events of the previous 6 weeks. And we find that in Luke tells us in Acts that they all joined together constantly in prayer. In Luke's own gospel, he says, they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The dynamic of prayer keeps Jesus' memory alive as they come to understand the meaning of what has happened around them. So just as they join together in prayer, so must we. For we too are called to be witnesses for Jesus. And we too receive the same power as we awaken in us the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Most holy and powerful God, we marvel how you called us to your eternal glory in your Son, Jesus Christ. We are reminded of all he went through for us. We await your glory being revealed in fullness. We praise you for the glimpses we already see. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we serve you with our lives. Lord, you are above and beyond, and yet within us. How can we not adore you? You are always ready to receive us, to embrace us and enfold us. How can we not adore you? O Lord, we don't always understand you, your being, your power, your love, your guidance. And yet something within us joins with you. Our belief is there. Our faith is there. Because of what we feel and know and do understand about you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your wisdom is way beyond our imagining. For we humans make such a mess of things. We yearn so often for the here and the now, for the easy ways. But thank you, Lord, that you see beyond the here and now and are not tempted by our easy options. Lord, we know we should be ready for whatever life throws at us. But we aren't always. And sometimes when help is offered, we brush it off. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your hope. Lord, sometimes we haven't been alert. We ignore the sufferings and needs of others. Sometimes we think our trials are unique, forgetting others who are suffering. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your hope. And so, Lord, we know that you are able to hear our prayers, and we know that you answer our prayers in your own time and in your own way. You listen, Lord, to our sorrows and our sadness, to our faltering words and our half-formed understanding of your way, your truth and your life. You listen to our confessions, our yearnings and our pleadings. When we acknowledge that we have failed you, failed others, even failed ourselves. So in a moment, this moment in sorrow and shame, we offer you our failings and our faults, knowing that you hear and lift the burden from us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you hear our confessions, that you feel our pain, you sense the way we are disturbed, and you assure us that we are forgiven. You wash away our sins and lift the burdens from us. Thank you, Lord. Abba, Abba Father, let us be yours and yours alone. May our will forever be, evermore, your own. Amen. So let's sing Abba Father.
Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever.
As I said, the Apostle Luke tells us that after the Ascension, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I'm sure, like me, there must be times when you look at the state of the world, at the state of our own country, and perhaps you wonder, where is God in all of this? I know I keep feeling that everything is going a bit pear-shaped. Okay, you probably say it's a generation thing, but... And to some extent, you're right. But whatever the reason, one thing is for sure, and that is God still has a plan for us, whatever other people might be doing. Our prayer should be like that of the psalmist. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. And like those first disciples of Jesus, we must keep praying. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we need you. Our world needs you. There is so much unrest. Our world is a battlefield of light and darkness. Wars and conflicts are tearing it apart. We pray for Ukraine, for Israel, for Iran, and for the Middle East and Sudan. We pray for all involved in the ravages of war and unrest. We pray for urgent action to eliminate the starvation, disease, trauma and suffering caused by war. Lord, selfishness and greed are rife and destroying all that is good. Many are still lost, filling gaps in their lives with selfish wants and destructive desires. They look after number one with no thought for others. So we pray for all victims and bystanders hurt by the actions of others. Lord, although our government seems precarious and divided, and people are agitated and angry, and experiencing hardships caused by the cost of living, give us all hope for the future. And we pray for an end to the political fighting, for renewed focus on the challenges of people's daily lives, and on finding answers to the inequality that destroys well-being. We pray too for calm, competent and brave government that delivers the change that our society needs, and ask that all members of the government will make wise rather than self-serving choices. And Lord, may your light of wisdom shine in the darkest recesses. God of all grace, though our efforts seem so small when so much needs surround us, we ask for your strength. We pray for members of our community who work tirelessly to improve the lives of others, and for people who do the mundane and often unnoticed work that our lives depend on. We pray for volunteers in our church community, giving thanks for their unassuming but generous service to others. May we treat one another with gentleness and kindness and carry each other through when life causes us pain. Lord, though life can be tough and sometimes we cannot see the way ahead, teach us to trust you when darkness surrounds us. And we pray especially for anyone who today feels despairing or overwhelmed by life, and for the sick and the lonely, that they will be comforted by your love that meets us where we are. Lord, you hold us, your church, in your love. So we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know. Lord, we need you. Our world needs you. Awesome, powerful Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as you taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, sometimes we think it would be lovely to have not a care in the world. But thank you that we do have cares for other people. As you put your love into our hearts for others, we thank you that you are bigger than all our prayers put together. You support us as we support each other. And Lord, we know that you have heard your people cry. All who dwell in darkened sin, your hand will save. But we also know that you say, who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And our response, Lord, is to say, here we are. We've heard you calling in the night. We will go, Lord, if you lead us. We will hold your people in our hearts. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Stars of night, I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go.
Thank you.
set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?
Pause to make our offering to the Lord. And I want to thank everyone who is continuing with their tithing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are people of God, chosen by you, loved by you and equipped by you to be your witnesses here in this world. Thank you that you pray for us to the Father. So Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth, and witness to your love and compassion. Amen. Well, it may not seem like it, but this time of the year in the Christian calendar is pretty exciting. Through our scriptures, we find that Jesus is exalted to the highest place, focusing all our attention on God's love. We find Jesus challenging his disciples to witness and giving him hope of a future reunion with him. The Acts of the Apostles speaks most explicitly of Jesus' return to heaven and the promises and challenges it poses to his disciples. In the passage we're going to hear from John's Gospel, we once again go back to the night Jesus was arrested. He and his disciples are gathered in the upper room, and Jesus prays for himself and for his disciples. In his prayer, Jesus acknowledges that the disciples are the Father's gift to him. His gift to them is for them to know the Father. Jesus reveals just who God is and what he stands for. The disciples' response is to keep the word. And they have this responsibility in a world that their community often experience as extremely hostile. Once again, it seems nothing changes. Jesus acknowledges that God has separated them from the world around them, and that therefore they will continue to need God's protection, especially once he has left them. Let's hear now part of that wonderful prayer as retold in John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Such a beautiful prayer. How can we ask for anything greater than to know that Jesus prayed to the Father for us? I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. But I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let's sing, I know not why, God's wondrous grace. My message by taking you back to the reading from John's Gospel. With everything that was going on around him on the night that he was betrayed and arrested, Jesus managed to stay focused on his mission. Even as he sat having supper with his disciples, he knew that he would be betrayed that very night. He knew he would be arrested, and he knew he would suffer a cruel death on the cross. Yet despite all this weighing him down, he stayed focused, so much so that he took time out to pray. He starts by praying for himself. Then he prays for his disciples. Then he prays for all believers. So he was actually praying for each of us. It was such a beautiful prayer. How can we ask for anything greater than to know that Jesus prayed to the Father for us? He said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Don't we so often forget that deep love that Jesus has for us? God has given us so much, much of which we just take for granted. And how do we repay such love? Not that Jesus is praying for us on condition that we repay his love. However, we do have a task, and that task is to witness for Jesus. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples as he was about to leave them, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, when we acknowledge him as the Son of God, we too become disciples. And so that message applies to each of us. When we become disciples, we unlock the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And then we too become witnesses to the awesome God who is the Father of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Well, don't panic. You don't have to become a minister or pastor. Such a calling is a specific role within the church, which has as its core serving and teaching and pastoral needs of the church. Many ministers or pastors also have a specific calling to evangelism, which is specifically the growing of church communities. But the duty of witnessing is a call, a calling for each and every disciple. Witnessing could be described as setting an example, showing people just how wonderful it is to be a disciple, so that they too want to make a commitment to the Lord. How we live, what we say, how we react to others, how we cope with difficulties, is all part of our witnessing. If people see that we are committed to living the way we were created to live, if they see that we cope with life's ups and downs in a truly humble way, if they can see in us a true trust of the Lord and a joy at simply living, then they will be drawn to faith. Of course, the opposite is also true. If they see us crumble at obstacles along life's way, if they see us saying and acting in ways which deny God, then they won't be at all impressed and so will not be drawn to faith. When Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven, he said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And he goes on, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Our duty as disciples is to bring glory to the Father. And we can only do that by witnessing to others by how we live. Remember the words of the psalm. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Okay, so how can we be happy and joyful all the time? Of course, that is nigh on impossible. But if we allow ourselves to trust God, if only we can accept that God has our best interests at heart, then being happy and joyful at all times is actually possible. But we can't do that on our own. We all need God's help. And that help is available. It's available to everyone. Jesus told his first little band of disciples, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is telling each one of us the same thing. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Okay, so maybe not in Judea and Samaria, but and the ends of the earth, but witnesses you will be. And empowered by the Holy Spirit you will be. But the choice is yours. Do you want to activate the power of the Holy Spirit in your very being? Do you want to live this transitory life by God's directions? Do you want to inherit eternal life? Do you want to be a witness to all God brings into your life? Do you want to be happy and joyful? Do you want to rejoice before God? Well, let me tell you, you have to say yes to all those questions. There's not a pick and mix alternative. Discipleship requires total commitment. If you say yes to God, then you are witnesses, like it or not. So maybe you think that by simply saying yes to believing, then that's all you have to do. And that's not an unreasonable thought. As I've said so often, God's love is unconditional. We can't earn it. But it doesn't mean we can cut out all the bits that require effort on our part. Our serving and obeying the Lord is not a price to pay. It's a natural response to the love and care that we are shown by the Lord. You know yourselves that if someone shows us love and compassion, then we have a natural desire to return that love and compassion. So the same applies to our reaction to the love and compassion shown to us by God. But of course, the difference is that we can only show love and compassion to God by doing so to his people, regardless of how they might treat us. Just think back to that prayer of Jesus. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. We have been and will be given so much by God, including peace of mind. We can be happy and joyful in the worst of situations. And that peace, that happiness comes from God. And we are witnesses if, as Jesus prayed, now they, that's everyone we meet, know that everything you have given me comes from you. My dear friends, you are a chosen people. You are people of God. You are loved by God. And so you are also witnesses. Witnesses to the love, the strength, the joy, the happiness that being people of God brings. Accept your calling as witnesses right now and grasp with both hands all that God has to offer you and witness yourselves just how much you are loved by God and what an incredible difference he will make to your life now and forever. So who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? I pray that each of us will answer without any hesitation. By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. Amen. Let's sing, Who is on the Lord's side?
Serve the King, who will be his helpers, other lives to bring. Of glory, not for crown and
Send us out, Lord, filled with your Spirit, always looking for signs of your presence with us, looking for signs of your work in action. Support us, strengthen us, establish us now and all the weeks to come, that we may show your glory and know your blessings and peace. As we go now, blessed in love and peace, as Spirit-filled people of God, to serve you and your people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.